Tell me a little bit more about your research, because you looked at a lot of different sources.
Yes, I actually what I did was I discovered in doing research that the Hollow Earth idea was first proposed as a scientific concept in the late 17th century by the astronomer Edmund Halley to account for variation in the Earth's magnetic poles.
He's the one and the same where the comet has been named from.
The comet is named for. And he was interested in this, actually, not as just mere scientific speculation, but it had a practical aspect. Back in the late 17th century, England's shipping was burgeoning, and they were sending ships, as well as other countries, all over the world. But there was not any reliable way at the time to measure longitude. And one way they tried to do it, to determine north and south, was through the use of compasses. But compasses were notoriously unreliable because of this shift in magnetic variation that everyone had observed, but nobody really knew why it was the case. And his proposal was that inside the Earth there were several independently turning spheres that were sort of rather like those Russian matryoshka dolls, the one that could, one smaller and smaller and smaller
right.
within themselves, and that they were turning separate from the way the outer sphere was turning, and that that was creating variation in the Earth's magnetism.
What happened to his theory?
Well, he proposed this to the prestigious London Royal Society. And then in the 18th century, it is actually written about by Cotton Mather, whom we mainly remember only as the arch-Puritan of New England from the late 17th century and early 18th century. But he was also quite interested in the new science and, in fact, was a proponent of, an early proponent of inoculation against smallpox in Boston. And he wrote a book that came out in 1721 called The Christian Philosopher, in which he devotes a number of pages to Halley's theory. And it's thought that from there, John Cleve Sims in the early 19th century got his ideas of the Hollow Earth, although what he added, that, and no one seems to know where he came up with this idea, which is the vast holes at the poles through which we could get inside. But that idea of the holes at the poles became tightly allied with almost all consequent Hollow Earth thinking.
I used to hear stories as a kid that some of our satellites had taken pictures of the holes and the poles, and they weren't showing us. And David, if the holes exist, if there is a hollow Earth, why would governments keep it a secret? I mean, what's the big deal? It's part of the landmass, isn't it?
It's exactly my question when I was reading about this: is why cover it? You know, why hide this? Why cover it up? What is to be gained by doing so? I found no answer that seems satisfying.
I mean, even if there are other beings that live there, human, mm-hmm. and they have cities and things, I mean, that's a great story to share with the world.
Absolutely. Certain Hollow Earth formulations, the people or creatures living down there are advanced specimens from outer space, and they're aliens who are living down inside, having left their original homes and ended up down inside the Hollow Earth.
Maybe that's why they don't want us to know.
Well, there was, of course, the in the 1940s, there was a Hollow Earth phenomenon that was pretty wonderful called the Shaver Mystery. And Richard Shaver was a contributor to a science fiction magazine called Amazing Stories.
Yes.
And he claimed that he had actually been down into the Hollow Earth and had experiences down there with the remains of an advanced race, most of whom who had fled and gone back to where they had come from. but some of which were still down there and had horribly mutated and were the cause of all evil up here on the surface, and also were the creators of flying saucers. The editor of the magazine, when flying saucer phenomenon came along in 1947, neatly folded the idea of flying saucers into the so-called Shaver mystery, and flying saucers became part of Hollow Earth lore as well.
The subtitle of your book, by the way, Hollow Earth, and this should excite everybody as we continue to talk about this, about creatures, advanced civilizations, and marvelous machines below the Earth's surface. So that'll give you an idea of where we're headed with this. Do you take a position in the book, Hollow Earth, whether there's a Hollow Earth or not?
Well, it seems to me that all scientific evidence pretty conclusively suggests that the Earth is not hollow, that there's a crust, a mantle, a liquid iron core, and then a hard metal center. The scientific evidence seems overwhelming that that's the case, to me anyway.
Now everybody's booing you, David.
I'm sorry.
yet you point out all the different stories about that.
And and they're wonderful, you know. What's interesting about it is up until about 1900 or 1910, nobody really knew. So up until that point, there was a good likelihood in people's minds and according to scientific evidence that it very well might be hollow. But I think in the last 100 years, the weight of evidence is against it being the case, although I wish it were true, and I think it's really interesting that many people today still either believe it is or want it to be true.
Well, yet native tribes from this country and from other lands have always described in their legends people that live underground.
Yes.
So there could be something to this. I mean, when we talk about a hollow earth, we may not be talking about, you know, from north to south, but there could be caverns and there could be inhabitants living underneath the surface.
Well, certainly, you're absolutely right. That is a part of creation myths of many cultures worldwide. The Hopi in our southwest, for instance, have a really beautiful creation myth involving just what you're saying.